Hello, I'm Sandy Toksvig, and welcome to the News Quiz Extra from London's Broadcasting House. I was just rummaging through the bins and found a whole load of jokes carelessly discarded from this week's news quiz. Ever keen to flaunt the show's green credentials, I fished them out, gave them a wipe, and recycled them to provide you with this specially extended edition. So just by listening, you're helping save the planet. Sort of. On with the show.
We present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Barry and District News, read by Rory Morrison.
Three sachets of tomato ketchup cost a claims advisor £675 and left her with a suspended prison sentence after she admitted battering a Barry Island chip shop owner.
Our thanks to Clive Norbury for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Phil Jupitus and Miles Jupp. And opposite them on my left, Rick Wakeman and Jeremy Hardy. Phil, have a listen to this.
Oh, it seems to me that sorry seems to be the hardest word.
Phil, whose apology is a sign of the times?
Is this a Leveson question?
Yeah.
The Leveson inquiry. So they're reaching the point now where they're getting people back to do encores. Mm. And yesterday... I'm thinking about Saturday now. I'm thinking about Saturday as well. 2 days ago...
Yes.
Now I'm thinking about the four extra repeat. Last Thursday... That'll do. That's covered all the repeats of the show that in its various forms.
What about the Christmas special?
Yeah. Oh, shit. When I was a boy... the day when I was paying attention to what was happening at Leveson, Paul Dacre was called back for a second time. The editor of the Daily Mail made his second appearance and he was remarkably sniffy.
Is he through to the finals now?
I think he is, actually. Louis Walsh was there and said, I like that you're back, Paul, and I think you've made a great, great statement today. So, yes, his whole beef, as they say in the hip-hop community, is with Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant said that the Mail group accessed his voicemails, hacked into his phone, and Mr. Dacre today called that explosive. He said it was an explosive thing to say. And the reason he was called back was he accused Hugh Grant of mendaciousness, which is lying deliberately because Miss Leveson reached for the thesaurus when mendacious came out. I was forced to look it up myself when I saw it. I wondered what mendacity was, and I thought it was one of David Cameron's new social welfare programs. Mendacity. Right after Big Society, you Mendacity. So, yes, the apologies are starting to fly out now.
But also, Paul Dacre accused Hugh Grant of invading his own privacy.
I think
listening to his own voicemails. I don't know. That's a job for someone else.
I think that's a euphemism, isn't it? Invading your own privacy.
Oh, is it?
Yes, after the show, I hope to be hacking into my own account.
But wasn't the story actually about the Times? Because you said Times.
Yeah, it was about the Times.
It's about Nightjack.
James Harding.
Yeah.
They blew his cover, Nightjack, his real name.
Is that another euphemism?
Facts are all well and good, Jeremy, but my rambling around the news is surely what Sandy was after.
Certainly more interesting.
Have you ever been done over by the Daily Mail in any way?
I have.
Have you?
But most of the dailies I've been done over by.
Have you?
And the Sundays. Yeah, it's par for the course.
What did the Angler's Mail get you on?
My rod.
I once had a very bad review in the Motorcycle Times. And for a really long time, Ned Sheeran used to call me Studs Toksvig, which I said. I'll give an extra point to anybody who can tell me what Dominic, I think his name is Mohan, editor of The Sun, was asked to talk about.
Page three. He said it's an example to show women being very healthy. This is very healthy.
He
Exactly, naked women. Especially the Nazis used to make films like that, didn't they? The sort of beauty of half-naked Aryan women.
Yeah, apparently page three represents youth and freshness. Well, that's what my rejection letter said anyway. I don't have a problem with page three. I think it celebrates natural beauty, as anybody who's familiar with the work of Katie Price will agree. I met her once. It was enough.
I was a bit shocked to hear David Cameron's going to be in Jordan this week.
During cross-examination this week at the Leveson Inquiry, James Harding, the editor of the Times newspaper, has apologised to a High Court judge for withholding evidence of email hacking in 2009. A Times journalist hacked into the email account of anonymous police blogger Night Jack. At the time, Harding said his paper had deduced Night Jack's identity using publicly available information. They had simply looked up hackers in the Yellow Pages. The editor of the Daily Mail, Paul Dacre, said that the British public were being given a very bleak, one-sided view of the newspaper industry, and it's good to know that he's against bleak, one-sided views. So. 2 points to Phil. Miles, which enemy of freedom has been given his freedom?
This is a chap called Abu Qatada. Mm-hmm. That's the.
Yes.
He's quite an interesting cove, really, because he's... he's wanted for terrorism in 6 countries, and we were trying to deport him, and then the European Court of Human Rights said, oh, no, you can't do that. And we said to him, rather than you being deported back to Jordan and us keeping you in prison, you can be released. But, you know, it's quite a firm message in its own little way, because, I mean, it's probably made him think about what he's done. Mm.
His real name is Omar Othman. Abu Qatada is a sort of extremist pen name, a sort of nom de boom.
Isn't that the song that Muslim clerics sing to cheer themselves up when they're depressed? Abu Qatada. It means no worries.
Do you not think, Miles, you have a religious persuasion?
That's right, I'm an extremist.
Church of England is a broad church. Do you not think the extremist Muslims are just going through a period like the Christians did, a sort of mad period? The Christians had one in the Middle Ages, and they'll all calm down, and in 500 years we'll have a sort of Mullah of Dibley on BBC One. Do you know?
I'm sure we'll all look back and laugh on these days. It was reported in a lot of papers that the BBC weren't allowed to refer to this particular gentleman as an extremist.
Is that right?
Are you allowed to refer to him as an extremist?
Well, I wasn't referring to him as an extremist. I was suggesting that there might be extremist Muslims. Well,
hypothetically, were this
certainly
man
he, I believe,
terrorism.
Is a charm bucket. Well, can I just say that lawyers have pointed out that he has not committed any offence in the UK. To be fair, he spent 6.5 years in prison. He hasn't had much chance, but... It is nonsense that he's broken no English laws. There is no U after the Q in his surname, and that is one of the fundamental laws of English.
But it's one of those things that if we didn't read about, we wouldn't be bothered about it. But he's been out on bail before under a control order and things like that, and everyone just didn't know. It's a bit like last year when they didn't do the passport checks and we all didn't know and nothing happened. It turned out that they were not doing passport checks on anybody in a private jet. Because they just thought, well, I mean, posh people aren't any day. I mean, they'll be wealthy Saudis. I mean, name one internationally famous terrorist from a wealthy Saudi family.
Also, it's very odd how they approach the whole thing, because Theresa May said she was very keen to get him deported before the Olympics. Why? Does she want his beach volleyball tickets? What is that?
Hasn't he applied for the England job?
Has he?
He sort of came straight out and put his name in the hat, and he's number one choice at the moment.
Hard as it is to believe, we may come on to that. Extremist cleric. So I'm not allowed to say that?
Well, I don't mind.
They said you should say radical, but the word radical's become a dirty word.
Aren't free radicals good for you?
Yeah?
No, they give you cancer. Antioxidants.
So in addition to blowing things up, he's going to give us cancer? This is terrible.
Yeah. He's a free radical out. You need to take lots of vitamin C to neutralise him. Massive doses of antioxidants. Blueberries. The only way to defeat him is to use that blueberry-flavoured chewing gum. What you need, you know, in with a girl has the blueberry... in Willy Wonka, the girl eats the blueberry thing.
Yes, it turns into a massive blueberry.
We've got to fight him with her.
Exactly. Actually, what fascinates, of course, in Islam, you're not allowed to become intoxicated, and there's probably very good reasons for that, because history does tend to suggest that being intoxicated is not the best idea. But you do sort of wonder with somebody like him, you think, would it be better if he had a drink? Would he become a bit more of a laugh, or a bit more chilled out? Or would he become really, really dark? Do you know what I mean?
Well, speaking as one who's never had a drink in his life...
Which one of the several lives you've lived, Mr. White?
Actually, I'm teetotal at the moment. I've been for quite a few years. I was quite good, though, because it took nearly 6 months after I'd stopped drinking for the alcohol level in my bloodstream to drop below the legal limit to drive. So if you want me to help out by having a little word with him, I'm quite happy to.
Well, you got beards, you could bond. But he's not allowed out hardly at all, is he?
Nor am I. So don't mean,
well, that's what we want to do with the Muslim clerics. They just need an outlet for their rage. Put them on Grumpy Old Men with Rick. So Rick's going, well, what I don't like is young people on trains listening to Walkmans. That noise, it winds me up. And then now, Abu Qatada, I do not like the West.
But he's only going to be allowed out for an hour at a time. That's part of his bail condition.
But he's got the internet. I mean, he could get Mercado deliveries. Yeah. He can get an organic veggie box. I mean, he's literally not being punished.
Hang on. Again, I'm a bit lost. Is Mercado another radical cleric?
Yes. A cleric named Abu Qatada, who may or may not be extremist, is set to be released from prison after a European Court of Human Rights ruling said that he cannot be deported to his native Jordan. Recordings of Abu Qatada's sermons were found in the home of a 9/11 bomber, along with several extremist texts and Michael McIntyre's Live and Laughing DVD. Abu Qatada's solicitors called the situation a kerfuffle, cementing their place as front-runner for the Quaintest Lawyers of 2012 award. Once released, Mr. Qatada will be unable to access the internet or use the telephone. Oh, it'll be like being with BT Broadband. 2 points to Miles. Rick, which bill isn't in the best of health?
That's the NHS one, isn't it?
Yeah.
The old coalition has been trying to push all the reforms of the NHS. It went to the Lords, and the Lords weren't very happy. Yeah. So it went back, and then the Lib Dems said they would make 100 or so concessions. And it went back, and again the Lords said no. And apparently a lot of it boils down to the fact that they want a lot more money put into mental health. So, again, they've got themselves, really, that they're thinking about. That's all they really care about.
In fairness to the House of Lords, they probably do know more about nursing than anybody else in the world.
I don't really understand the bill. I mean, I don't understand doctors and things anymore, because you go to the doctors and I don't know what it's like where you all are, but we're only allowed to go with one problem. So if you've hurt your fingers, you literally have to make a different appointment for each finger. So if you're in a multiple, like, car crash and you've got lots and lots of injuries, it can be bloody years before you even get anything sorted. And they want to reform all this, and it's not really working, and it won't make any difference anyway. It'll go through, they'll push something through, but the truth of the matter is nothing will change whatsoever.
Oh, I don't think so. See, I think it's all about the NHS making money. I mean, you're talking about where you are locally now, at our A&E, they wheel you in through the gift shop.
I think he's just playing, Lansley. I think he's just been given this big thing to play with, and I think we should just give him Operation for his birthday, and he could just play with that all day. Just leave the NHS alone.
I'd like to send him to the same place I had my vasectomy. I would really like
presumably
to send him.
Presumably where they would do one ball at a time.
Well, Ed Miliband called it a complete disaster, but enough about his leadership.
I think they should reform parking at hospitals.
Oh, so do I. Yeah. So
the number of people you meet that think, oh, I would love to have seen my son being born / parent dying, but I didn't.
Unusual
correct change for the facilities.
Unusual when that happens on the same day as well.
I got clamped in a hospital car park.
You got clamped?
Yeah. One tire at a time, though. I had to go back.
The government's NHS reform bill suffered its first defeat in the House of Lords. The government has offered more than 100 concessions to get the bill through, but even the public flogging of Nick Clegg failed to win them support. Under the new bill, hospitals will be allowed to raise 49% of their revenue from private patients. The other 51% will be from harvesting the organs of the unemployed. The groups opposed to the NHS reforms now include the BMA, the Royal College of Nursing, the Association of GPs, the Royal Medical College, the Campaign for the Real Cornish Pasty, the Sea Scouts, and the Basildon Sub Apco Club. One number 10 aide said the health secretary, Andrew Lansley, should be taken outside and shot. Why delay the agony? Shoot him inside. 2 points to Mr. Wakeman. Jeremy, whose day in the dock turned out rosy?
Harry Redknapp, who is set to become...
2 points, that's surely England, enough. Surely enough.
He's set to become England manager on the basis that he's English and not going to prison. And now that he's not going to prison, I think he should stop protesting his innocence, because he protested his innocence to an extreme degree. He was just going, oh, I don't know nothing about tax or money or none of that. To be honest, I'll probably pay more in tax than I earn. I don't know what's more, a big number or a small number. I can't count or do sums. I'm not even allowed to hold a pencil unsupervised. I can't communicate at all. I can't even talk. I don't know what this noise is. What's going on here then? Who are you then, hey? What's this place? Where are we now? I've been dead for 20 years. And, so he's got off, and now people are saying, well, he should be England manager because he's English, and footballers are expressing their opinions. Now, I've met some very intelligent footballers in the organisation called Show Racism and the Red Card, but I think they are an exception. Footballers should not express opinions. You should say to them, don't tweet, that's a ball, kick that in that direction. Those men in similar shirts are your team. Tweeting and tiny Mark Owen, is it Michael Owen? Michael Owen won't. He said
Mark Owen is in Take That.
Yeah, Michael Owen. Yeah, Lord Owen, David Owen. he said we need not only an English manager, everyone should be English from the tea lady up. And I thought, what? So that you think has been the problem? The reason England plays like 11 men who've never met before is because you've been served tea by a lady from the Ukraine. That's what it's called. I mean, honestly, watching England play, you just sort of think, they would do better to select players from different sports. Andy Murray's very good at sport. Rebecca Adlington, all the rowers, they're good. Dressage people are pretty good, aren't they? Just get a load of them and see what they can make
of it. We've got some really good archers. We could get a bit of an Agincourt vibe going against France.
Yeah.
Harry, I think, would make a good England manager. I know that they did ask him if he could handle the Euros, and he said he could, providing they were unmarked and used.
Apparently he's already lined up friendlies in the Cayman Islands, Belize and Jersey. So.
I believe that his dog is hosting Moneybox Live this
year. I believe the dog has got a better credit rating than Italy or Greece. It's a... Is it your thing, really?
Yeah, I love football,
yeah. He's paid £2 million a year to tell them which direction to kick the ball. I mean, it's just breathtaking.
Yeah, Capello was on £6 million a year.
Oh, the sound of a Radio 4 audience.
How much?
Do you know how little Michael Rosen gets to do poetry? I never knew football was this much fun. Right,
I'm sort of confused by the tax evasion issue. I don't know why it would be difficult for someone like him to avoid tax if he wanted to. I mean, presumably he could do what certain mobile phone networks do, which is that you get a very big bill from the HMRC and they say, can you give us lots of tax? And you look at the bill and you ring them back and say, actually, would it be all right if we didn't? And they say, my dear old things, absolutely, yes. these deals are there to be made.
I must try that. Right, Tottenham Hotspur, man. Is that right, Tottenham?
It is Tottenham Hotspur, yeah.
Tottenham Hotspur. Why have they all got such silly names?
This is like listening to you read out from Lord of the Rings. This is how...
Tottenham Hotspur manager Harry Redknapp and the chairman of Sheffield Wednesday, Milan Mandarić, have been cleared of tax evasion charges. As the verdicts were read out, Redknapp and Mandarić embraced, allowing Mandarić to slip a wad of 50s into Harry's pocket. The acquittal has potentially paved the way for Redknapp to replace England manager Fabio Capello, who resigned on Wednesday. After Capello's reign, there is a strong desire to have an England manager who speaks good English. Despite this, Harry Redknapp is the favourite. at the end of round one. The scores are Phil and Miles have got 4 points, but Rick and Jeremy are in the lead with 5. We start round two with a tweet from BBC Breaking News.
Jude Law hails News of the World hacking payout, saying no aspect of his private life was safe. Details soon.
And our thanks to Sarah Kerrison for sending us that. Phil, which lady is a diamond geezer?
The Queen, 60 glorious years since she took the throne, and she's planning 3 months of festivities, which is actually a month longer than the last Motorhead tour. So she's going out on the road. They're having a gig in front of Buckingham Palace. Having had one behind, that went well, and they thought, well, let's try the space in front now. And the gig is being organised by Gary Barlow. Confirmed acts so far include...
Gary Barlow.
More to follow.
It's not 3 months, darling, it's a year.
Is it a year?
A year of solo. It's bad enough them banging on about
the
Olympics.
Oh, that's like the Stones. Only she looks a bit better than them.
I mean, she should celebrate, but have a pizza and a choc ice. Get over it. I just...
So there's the gig, and she's sort of going pretty much everywhere all over the world. It's nice. I think as far as value for money on what I'm giving her, I think she shows a great return. I'd like to know which bit I'm paying for, though. I think that we all pay a bit to the Queen. I'd like them just to phone us up and go, thank you for that cornetto in Belize. Something like that.
You could ring-fence your bit.
Mm.
That'd
say
be nice.
This is for your elocution lessons or something like that.
I'm only happy to contribute to jousting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who chooses the bands then, Phil? At the Golden One, I've had Black Sabbath on, which seems a sort of a strange choice.
Yeah, but yeah, Queen loves war pigs.
Yeah. I mean, Tony Iommi, the guitar player, said to me, he said, I'm not sure which one of the royal family decided they wanted to have us there. He said, I don't think it was Philip. And he said... And I asked him, I said, what did you do? He said, we did Paranoid. You know, he said, just a 3 minute. I said, so no rehearsal. He said, oh, he said, Ozzy rehearsed for about 3 hours. And I said, why was he that keen? He said, well, no, he said, Ozzy always introduces everything, and he always introduces everything with the very well-known four-letter word. So we rehearsed for 3 hours on how to try and introduce it without using that well-known four-letter word. And I said, which... I said, what happened? He said, well, he failed, and we just played it.
I think it's time the royal family started swearing. Because it's so much in common parlance now, and after 60 years, you think she ought to be able to let rip. I mean, they were bombed in the war. She must have said it when they were bombed. I know it wasn't that big of a deal when they got bombed in the war, because they had several other houses to go to. But
They probably do swear at home. Huh? They probably do swear at home. She's probably listening to this thinking, Jeremy Harney's a bit of a...
The next time I see her, that is the speech bubble I'm going to see coming out of her head. Do you think there's a dark side to the royal family? Do you think Charles got her a happy 60 years since your dad died card? Do you think...
Do you think he occasionally bursts into the room wearing, like, a Burger King cardboard crown going, yay! Only joking.
This week marked the beginning of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. That's right, this is just the beginning. Her Majesty was given a 41-gun salute in Hyde Park and a 62-gun salute at the Tower of London before police eventually wrestled the gun off Philip. The Queen marked the milestone with a visit to a school in King's Lynn where pupils put on a display of decorated underwear inspired by the children's book The Queen's Knickers. I am not making this up. The true story. The children were told not to ask the Queen what underwear she was wearing. But they found out when she missed her dismount during the afternoon trampolining. I promise you there are two things guaranteed to encourage letters from outraged people. It's when we talk about the Queen or Cliff Richard, and there's not much in it, really. 2 points to Phil. Miles, why have we picked a bad week to talk about the number of women around the table?
Well, there's been lots of news stories about women this week, chiefly about their representation, and I'm currently one of 4 male panellists. I should be a woman.
Yeah.
That's what the news this week has been leading up to.
Yeah.
Mark Thompson, Director General of the BBC, wants the news to be exclusively presented by elderly women.
Or Andrew Neil in a wig. That was what I...
It's not really fair to say there aren't enough older women. You are ageing as fast as you can, Sandy, aren't you? You're doing your best.
I must stop telling people I'm 21.
Everyone's friends, the Church of England, and General Synod discussing the possibility of women bishops.
Yes.
Which might be hitting our screens 2014. And David Cameron wishes to see more women in boardrooms. He's not averse to the idea of women quotas, treating them the way European people treat fish. He says companies and countries are run better by having a decent mix of men and women, although he may have noticed that there are only four women in the cabinet of 23.
The thing is, I don't understand. If we let women be bishops in the church, who's going to do the flower arranging? That's what I'm worried about.
Isn't the argument against women bishops that Jesus only chose male disciples?
Yes.
But surely that's because Jesus knew that women would have a hard time believing his rather extravagant claims. Women have met a lot of men who think they're God's gift, haven't they?
Yeah. But I mean, maybe we shouldn't try too much too soon. Why don't we start by having effeminate men in the boardrooms and then we could progress to, I don't know, butch women and then women as a whole. It would be a kind of a good...
You're fired!
2003, Norway introduced a quota of 40% for female directors under the golden skirt policy. It's one of my favourite Hans Christian Andersen stories. It's...
one of my favourite videos.
It is a bit rubbish that in the week when this is one of the major stories, we have no lady panellist S's on the show.
Yeah.
It is a bit bad. And normally, women are quite well represented on this show and usually bring their wives as well. So we are one of the more women-friendly shows.
I say this myself, I think having a woman in charge has improved the news quiz because Jeremy has started changing his pants every day. So this is a...
Not from where I'm sitting.
David Cameron wants to introduce quotas to increase the number of women in UK boardrooms. A book published by two Conservative MPs called for a target of 30% of boardroom members to be women, backed up by compulsory sex change operations if the deadline was not met. And BBC Director General Mark Thompson has admitted there are not enough older women in broadcasting. Tell me about it. Every week I have to drag up as a gay man from Ireland to get my own chat show. At the end of round two, the scores are Phil and Miles have got 8 points, but Rick and Jeremy are still in the lead with 9. We start round three with a headline from the Bournemouth Echo.
Gas alert sparks Canford bottom evacuation.
We're all basically children at heart, really. Our thanks to Phil Tanrow for sending us that. Phil, who got all frosty and lost their head?
I don't know what got me angrier about this story was that basically at several parks around the UK... council workers, it was said, had been instructed to knock snowmen over because of a risk posed under health and safety legislation. Right. So this was reported in the Telegraph. I wish I could remember the name of the reporter. All the councillors he phoned and said, your council workers are knocking over snowmen and cutting their heads off. Is this because of health and safety? They go, no, we're not telling them to do that. People assume that the snowmen are being decapitated because it's health and safety gone mad. No. A couple of council workers decapitate a couple of snowmen. Someone saw them and said, what are you doing? And the blokes, because they've got no imagination, went health and safety, because that's a byword for knobbery in the society in which we live. The Telegraph takes this as evidence for the decline of Western civilization. The simple, innocent pleasure of fashioning a snowman with a beautiful carrot for a nose and his coal. If you remember coal, it was very big in the late 70s. For buttons and lovely eyes and everything. And then these awful, awful men, because of communist regulations from Europe, come and destroy the snowmen. Children's tears freezing hard on the ground as they look at their dead former snow friends writhing in white icy agony. The shovels digging their very, very frigid water entrails out. And it's just balls.
What is the matter with this country, though? What is the matter with this country? Panic. It's panic. It's a few inches of snow and icy winds. The winds caused, I think, by the force at which the whole of Eastern Europe and Scandinavia rolled their eyes.
You see, and so
the British were shocked by the appearance of snow at this time of year for the 97th straight year since records began.
It's not just Killjoys doing it, though, I'm sad to say, because we had a touching scene in our street this week. When we came there, snow had been the day before, and I'd been out in the park building a snowman with my son, and there were lots of snowmen everywhere. Next morning, we came out of the house on the way to nursery, and the snow had all melted, and my son said, "Where are all the snowmen?" And I said, "I think they've all gone." And then we walked down the road, and we got to the nursery, and he was really excited. He went, "There is a snowman, there's a snowman here," and someone had built one just nicely outside the nursery. And my wife went, "Oh, and look, its nose is a little bit loose. Should we push its nose back in?" And she knocked its head off.
Well, the weather has been cold, that's fair. Apparently George Osborne was forced to throw another vulnerable member of society on his fire, so... He had no choice. He'd already burnt his introduction to economics textbook, so...
Darling, can't we get any smokeless paupers?
Hounslow Council has apologised for the actions of park workmen who beheaded over 50 snowmen. The police set up crime scenes around each decapitated body. But in a mysterious twist, by the next day, all the bodies had disappeared. 2 points to Phil. Miles, why does the office outing only build resentment?
The office, for years now, companies have been spending quite lavish sums trying to improve the work ethos of their workplace in an attempt to make the staff get on better. They've been sending them off on trips or even doing quite basic things like putting blindfolds on and taking it in turns to pick up cups. It's probably more of a sort of public sector treat.
Yes, I've seen that video. Two civil servants, one cup.
People go off and do these trips, and they spend enormous money doing these sort of things, so outward bound pursuits and things like that, going off and driving tanks and things like that. And the idea is to make people feel better about where they work for. But people like where they work for because they enjoy the work and the people are nice and the atmosphere is good. That's what it's about. Whereas they're getting the situation now where they're more unhappy at work as a result of going on some sort of team-building exercise because, you know, Ian from accounts no longer is respected by anyone because people have seen him lose control of two of his bodily functions whilst rock climbing. It doesn't. You know, you've got to hand in your expense claim form to someone you've saved from drowning. It fosters resentment.
Yeah. And I don't see how it helps in the workplace. Oh, no, a customer wants a refund. Quick, everyone, form a motorcycle pyramid.
Why you assume that you will work better with someone just because you know how they will react to holding a kestrel? I mean, what is the...
They should just have it in the workplace all the time, though. Just everyone's got a paintballing
gun
in the office all the time. And when you get really bored, you shoot someone in the face just to get through the day.
It's like these casual Friday. We're having a casual Friday. What could be less casual than it being mandatory? Yeah.
Wearing jeans. I know, we're absolutely crazy here. Yeah, all manner of things happen.
See Dave over there. He's got a very amusing T-shirt he bought in Ibiza. It says, "I've been to Ibiza."
Christmas office party that used to do all the bonding, wasn't it? That's all they needed once a year on the Friday before Christmas
to bond. A mass-wide company epidemic of chlamydia. That's what... Nothing bonds a company like an STI.
Office team building exercises leave staff feeling more awkward about dealing with their colleagues, according to a survey by Vodafone and YouGov. 66% of workers have been forced to do some kind of trust exercise. The rest work in politics and are a lost cause. Bonding activities include bikini-clad bed baths from colleagues.
Wow.
Worst meeting of the cabinet ever. Activities include holding lingerie parties. Do you know that is the last thing I want to imagine my council bin men doing? 2 points to Miles. Rick, who has said, "Let them eat cake"?
The Israelis, I think. They came to the conclusion or something that rather than have a nice sort of calorie-controlled breakfast, if you have chocolate cake, was it chocolate cake?
That's or
chocolate,
any cake, actually.
Any cake, but particularly chocolate that's got millions and millions of calories, then you actually will lose weight. Mm. And when they were asked to analyse it, it sort of comes down to the fact that if you stuff yourself full of cake in the morning, you'll feel so revoltingly ill throughout the day, you're unable to eat anything else. Therefore, you will lose weight because your calorie intake is down because you've had all this crap in the morning. They've spent millions of pounds working this all out. And, of course, nobody in Israel or anywhere else in the world is remotely interested, but we think it's wonderful and we are taking it on board.
Well, apparently morning is the best time to consume sweets because we have the rest of the day to work off the calories.
I mean, that's rocket science,
isn't it? The thing is that that's an almost arcane saying, isn't it? Breakfast like a king.
Yeah.
You're supposed to eat the biggest meal first thing and then work your way down to smaller meals. That's why the old lady shouldn't have started with a fly.
No.
If she'd started with a horse, then she would have died immediately. That's cutting out a really crappy song.
See, there's a lot of those kids' things that are like that. It's like Humpty Dumpty, though, right? Because I think they could have put him back together again if they hadn't given the horses the first go.
Did you see that thing in the papers about the reason that Napoleon failed in Russia was he had the wrong sort of horseshoes?
No, is that true?
Apparently.
Well, he should have put them on the horse. That's the thing.
An Israeli study suggests that eating a piece of chocolate cake with breakfast could help dieters lose weight. The participants ate a chocolate cake as well as a fry-up for breakfast, or as it's known, the full Eric Pickles. Researchers split 193 obese people. Oh, that's unpleasant. Researchers split 193 obese people into a 300-calorie breakfast group and a 600-calorie one with chocolate cake. The 600-calorie group lost weight, presumably jumping for joy. The research is a collaboration between the University of Tel Aviv and the Institute for Wishful Thinking. 2 points to Rick. Jeremy, listen to this. Everybody's talking at me. I can't hear a word they say. Only the echoes of my mind. Jeremy, why might Prince Charles have been right all these years?
Oh, cabbages. This is fantastic. Yep. Cabbages communicate with each other by emitting a gas, like any couple who've been together for a long time. they go, was that you? No, I don't think it was. I think that was you. No, I know I've done one, but I think you did one as well. Have we both? Did we do it at the same time? Oh, that's good. What they do when they're startled. Thing is, cabbages are not the most fragrant thing. How can you tell when a cabbage has made a bad smell? They all smell of your nan's hallway, or a guest house in Rill. I'm doing a cutting gesture here for the listeners at home. If you cut, that's how you cut with your hand if you're Bruce Lee. If you cut a leaf off of a cabbage, it will then emit a gas that translated aroma, you know, it's sort of aroma language to other cabbages. They interpret it as, watch out for the bloke with the knife. And then those cabbages emit another gas that repels knife-wielding chefs.
These researchers, they cut the leaves of a cabbage and sealed it in a chamber with two other plants. It sounds like the Guantanamo for vegetables. Who even thought of doing this? Why would you spend money and time and energy? These must be people with GCSEs and all sorts of things.
Well, the trouble is, it is going to... Vegetarians, I mean, because the trouble is, it will encourage people to give up more things, because giving up things becomes as addictive as consuming things. As people give up, you know, meat, and then they think, oh, well, I better give up fish as well, because that's cruel, and then I better give up dairy products, because that's cruel as well, and then I better give up wheat, I suppose, because everyone's giving wheat, and I suppose I should give up alcohol, and I suppose I should give up tea and coffee and sugar, and they come round your house, and you just don't know what to give them, apart from a loaded revolver, really.
Apparently, cabbages release ethyl jasminate. I loved all her musicals. Everything's coming up cabbages.
Asparagus are the weirdest vegetables because they think we've got no means of protecting ourselves. Even though we've got spears, we're unable to defend ourselves. All we can do is make the people who've eaten us have smelly wee.
For the first time, scientists have been able to eavesdrop on a conversation between vegetables.
insert your own sassy Radio 4 style joke here.
Any remark about quote unquote will do. This story is about the fact that cabbages release a smelly gas when they're cut, and also when they're not cut, and when they're cooked. Basically, cabbages smell horrible, and apparently we now know that even cabbages know this. Some plants have evolved ways to protect themselves from attackers, such as drawing their leaves closer together, although they've yet to come up with something that can stop a man with a spade. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings. The teams have brought along Mr. Jupitus.
I'm indebted to Virginia Bruno for sending in this little cutting from Hounslow Matters. And it's about their...
Hounslow
pest...
doesn't matter. Let's go.
And I think that about does it. I'm not going to get a bigger joke than the heckle the name Hounslow Matters got.
No, go on.
So let's just all enjoy ourselves.
Just read it out, just for the benefit of the edit.
Okay, it says, it's about the pest control services. It says, the team visits people in their homes or premises, and advisory service is also available to identify insects which can be brought to the civic centre or posted in a dry, crush-proof container. Insects should be dead, if possible.
Mr. Jupp.
This is from a different publication. I've been to Streatham and it's shit.
How dare you!
This is from the BBC News website, sent in by Samuel Mulliner. Michael Fassbender wins the Best Actor Prize at the Evening Standard Awards for his role in sex addiction drama Shame and Jane Eyre.
Mr. Wakeman.
This has come courtesy of Sylvia Webb, and it's all about Chris Hoon. And this comes from the Financial Times, and it ends by saying the 57-year-old MP's problems began in 2010 after the allegations about these speeding points, dating back 8 years to his time as an MEP, appeared in the Sunday Times. In an ironic twist, Mr. Hune's father had made his fortune selling speed cameras to the police.
Mr. Hardy.
This is from the BBC website on the phone hacking payout sent in by John Moore of Nottingham. Other cases mentioned in court were of the former cavalry officer James Hewitt, who had an affair with Diana Princess of Wales, ex-MP George Galloway and singer Danny Minogue.
Let's take a look at the final score. Phil and Miles have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Rick and Jeremy with 13. Before we leave you, here is an excerpt from an MSN article on celebrity lookalike couples.
A bit of a curveball, this one, but Twilight hotties Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart certainly appear to have rubbed off on each other over the years.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the News Quiz Extra were Phil Jupitus, Miles Jupp, Rick Wakeman and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sammy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Rory Morrison. The chair script was written by Benjamin Partridge, Simon Littlefield, Lucy Clark and Rodri Crooks, with additional material by Andy Walton and Graham Kilvington. The producer was Duncan Middleton.